sermon than what you're used to, because I have to say that I am fresh off of an adventure that changed my life. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of share with you, and I know in a couple weeks we'll have an actual presentation, but I want to share with you kind of what I saw this week. And hopefully through the eyes of the others on the trip, they saw some of the things that I saw. I'll tell you, you want to talk about an experience. Last Sunday, you want to just go time rolling. Last Sunday, we arrived at church on Sunday morning. We got there in unequivocal fashion early, which is unusual. And there was nobody there. I noticed this morning that our church service starts way after the 10. There was nobody there. So we really didn't know what to expect. And we walked in the door, and they didn't know what to expect because they looked at us like, "Who are you?" And we looked at them like, "Who are you?" And so from that moment on, we thought, well, we'll just go with the flow. And that might have been the best thing we could have done, is go with the flow. Instead of having a set, we're going to do this, this, and this, we just went with the flow. And whatever need arise, we met it. And that was what was awesome about the trip. So this morning, I wanted to share with you some of my thoughts. But I'll tell you this. If you complained on that trip, and I had a hard time yesterday, every time in my mind I got hot, I thought, how can I complain after a week of watching people coming off the streets that live outside? And I was complaining because I had to ride in a vehicle when they walked to get a glass of water. So my mindset this morning has not been, and yesterday it was really hard because it was hot. But every time I thought I was hot, I was like, you know what? I could be standing on the side of the road with my bag and not know where I'm going to sleep tonight. And so that's kind of where my perspective is going to go this morning. And I'm going to share some good times. I'm going to share some moments that may be challenging. And this is more speaking to myself. It's me getting up here and just talking in the mirror this morning about what I saw. But hopefully, maybe it can change your life in some fashion. I think it was day one, maybe day two. And it was like a vacation for us. I'm not going to lie. It was very laid back for us. It was day two, maybe. We got there, and the congregation doubled, literally, when we got there. We had 26 people, 27, because Heather joined with us. 27 people. And so we doubled them. And so Sunday morning gets done. They're like, all right, you're going to serve to feed the homeless. We're like, all right. So we get up and go downstairs to the basement where they feed. And we're expecting it to be like this, a bunch of people ready to serve. We get down there, there's like two people ready to serve, three people. And they're looking at us like, what are we going to do with 27 people? We don't know what to do. And we didn't know what to do, so we're standing there. So after that day, we kind of got kind of a rhythm. And so Monday arises, and we've got 27 people. And 27 people trying to feed in this place is hard. And so we're like, what can we do? I'll never forget, me and Dave went outside, and we were standing outside. We're like, well, maybe we'll just invite people in. Maybe they don't know. We'll just invite them. We're standing out there, so this guy walks by, and Dave, the outgoing person he is, says, hey, why don't you come in? We got some free food. Glass of cold water. And the guy walks in. And the guy walked in, I'll never forget, and I've got this guy ingrained in my memory. I can't get him out of my head. He was wearing this jacket, and I don't know how to describe the jacket. It was, first of all, it was a jacket, like a suit jacket. And it's 100, and you guys, you're experiencing the heat, but we experienced it in that first part of the week in Texas where the heat came in this falling back home. And this guy's wearing a long sleeve jacket. I'm like, good night. And it was, I'm telling you, it was stylish. I mean, it had flowers all over it. I don't know. It was from the 70s at least. And he walked, and Dave said, and he had a little bag. He was carrying a little bag of cans, empty cans. And that was like gold to him because he could sell those cans and get money from them. And he was hesitant to go inside because he didn't know what to do with his bag. So he sat down, and Dave's like, well, Sean will watch it for you while you go inside. And so I watch his bag. Watching a bag of aluminum cans, maybe six cans in a little Kroger bag, was so bad with this guy, he didn't want to leave it. There's an eye opener for you, is it not? We leave stuff down worth more than, we lay our phones down losing they're worth $100, and we're like, oh well. He laid his cans down, was afraid to go in because he was afraid somebody might steal his cans. And so I watch his cans. Well, after a while, I go check. See, you know, and I just walk back inside. And I notice he's still sitting there, and nobody has even said a word to him. And he's sitting there. And it broke my heart. I'm not going to lie. It, well, first of all, it infuriated me. I was hot. Teenagers know at that point I was livid. I was upset because we had just invited this guy in, and now we looked really bad because we invited him in and nobody said a word to him. And there's people doing stuff. Mr. Brandon was in the conversation. Mr. Brandon's like one of the best guys. He turned around and talked to the guy for 3 hours, like he's known him all his life. And so he's busy, and we've got a couple of guys. We've got some teens, and they don't know what to do, and it's not their fault. They're just sitting there because there's really not enough for them to do it. They're just sitting there. And that's where we're going to go this morning in a second. But I want to paint this picture. And he gets up and he starts to leave. Well, he passes by me. And I know he's not been talked to, and I know he hasn't got any food, and I know he hasn't got any water. And now I really feel like a jerk because this guy's walking by. And I'm like, did you get anything? And I can just tell he had this look of disgust. And at that moment, it changed my week. And so whenever there was an opportunity for me to go to church, I went. Dave went every day because we finally said, all right, we're going to be smart. We're going to divide the group up. We'll send the girls for the first half of the day. We'll do the guys in the second half. That way, we don't have 27 people just clogged in there and they can do more. And so I'm like, Dave, I'll go with you in the morning. Not because I just wanted to get up early. It's because I had this desire that I could go and I could help in some way, help somebody that had something less than me. And that was my desire. And toward the end of the week, I'll never forget, it was the last day of my service, Thursday. And Brandon and me shared a bed. He wakes up, he's like, you know, if you really want to sleep in, you can. You know, I know you want to sleep in. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I want to go. No. So that's at like 7. I don't know. We have some random schedules going on. Waking up in the middle of the night. All of our clocks are off. And so I'm like, no, I'm fine. Well, we roll back over. And I could tell this was not Brandon saying, I'll relieve you. This is Brandon saying, I want to experience this. You stay in bed, fool. I laid down and I thought, maybe I'll forget. I'll fall asleep and we'll wake back up and he'll forget about what he said. Maybe he's dreaming. He wakes back up and he asks me the same question. I'm like, look, I knew it at that point. It was hard for me because I really wanted to go back. I really wanted to go back and serve for another 6 hours. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. And so that was hard for me staying in the hotel for the next 3 hours. I mean, we watched enough TV for 3 hours to pass my time off so I could go. But that was really hard for me to give up my opportunity to go serve. But Brandon, he wanted to go. He had caught on to this fire. He's like, no, I want to go. But you know him. He's very laid back and very casual. He's not just going to come out and say, Sean, you're not going today. I'm going. You stay in bed. He wanted to make me feel like, oh, I'm the servant. I'll let you sleep, Mr. Sean. You can get some more rest. I know you're tired. And then Dave's like, oh, I see how it is. You just want to sleep, Sean. So I have this whole guilt trip going on as I leave. But anyways, that's where we're going to go. And so there's one passage for today, and that's what we're going to look at. And it's a passage that you've probably read 1,000 times in your life. As a kid, you sang a song about. I think you did. At least I can remember it. I don't want to be a sheep. Bye. That song. But we're going to go to that passage. This is Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And a lot of this information, I'm not going to lie, it's like me and Dave on the same wavelength, because we had this little devotional type thing before we went to Six Flags on Friday. And he mentioned this to them. And so some of my thoughts are some of his thoughts combined, so I'm not taking all the credit. But Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verse 31 following. We're just going to read through the passage, and I'm going to give you some ideas, and we'll go from there. It says, starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will come to say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me. You are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger needing clothes, or sick in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Read that passage, and do what we did this past week, and you think, wow. Anybody have an idea what Jesus is saying here? When you see someone in need and you don't help them, it's like you see Jesus and you don't help him. Breaks my heart. I'll be honest with you guys. Breaks my heart that I've gone through life. And we've got this, and I'm going to get into this thing. We've got this kind of such a messed up conception of people who are poor. Because we've been burned so many times in our life by the person on the side of the road asking for a dollar. Because we know what they're going to do with that dollar. They're going to go buy a beer. Because that's the experience we've got. But I'll be honest with you, the people we ran into this week, yeah, they probably do go get beer. But they didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for money. They simply wanted to come inside out of the heat to eat some food, which, to be honest, most of you guys wouldn't even touch. You're like, that's nasty. I don't eat it. And they wanted a glass of cold water. That's all they wanted. And somebody talked to me. Changed my perspective. So here's my question. And Dave proposed this question, so I'm going to ask it to you because he asked it to Teague, he asked it himself, and I'm asking it to myself. Why is it we have a hard time doing that? Helping those that are in need. If one of us is in need, we help each other, don't we? If Mr. Chris back here is flat tire on the side of the road, and I drive by, I'm going to stop. The only time I can think I did help was one time we got done playing golf, and it was a Sunday afternoon. Me, Jeff, Bubba, and Chris had called. And Bubba called me. He's like, I got a flat. You know, I couldn't start his truck back at the golf course, and I was like, maybe somebody else will do it. And thankfully, Chris went back. So I'll go ahead and confess my sin to Melissa. Don't tell him I told you that. And he don't listen to the sermons on audio, so I'm safe. But that now he is. I should have said that. The whole thing is that we have. I don't think it's that we're evil people. I don't believe that any of us have evil tendencies. I think there's some things that kind of hold us back from helping those who are not like us. I'm just going to give you a couple ideas. Some of them we talked about with the youth. But think about this. What holds us back? I think number one, I think we're blind to it. We just don't see it. We don't see it because it's not affecting us. I was thinking about this yesterday. I mean, I had a lot of time to think. In the hot van, without AC, with oil spraying out of it, or transmission fluid, nobody talked. It was like, I guess we're all going to suffer together and we're not going to share because it was like, well, hey, I don't think you could talk. Mr. Chris is sitting beside me. I'm like, hey, can I have a glass of water? What? So the people behind me, I have no clue what they're saying the whole time. But it was real quiet. So a lot of time to think, and you're driving down the road, and all I can think is, and especially after we kind of had our little gas station thing where we lost all our transmission fluid, I thought, what if we'd been on the side of the road? I mean, God blessed us. Don't get me wrong. We stopped in the gas station with an air conditioner inside with a shade cover over us. But what if we'd been on the side of the interstate where there was no trees in Arkansas? Because we could have easily been sitting on the side of the interstate. Then you got 27 people on the side of the interstate. Probably not 27 because the white van would have kept on going and the blue van would have been left there because Chris would have been seeing it. But what if we'd been there? All of a sudden it changes perspective, doesn't it? Oh, I'm on the side of the road. And how many times does the car go boom, boom, boom? And I've experienced being on the side of the road in the middle of an interstate before, and it's a helpless feeling. But it got me to thinking the whole time. So when I drive by the road and I see somebody on the road, am I blind to it? Am I just not paying attention? Sometimes I'm not. I don't even realize it. You know, you go by, oh, I didn't know somebody on the side of the road, and I kept on going. So we're blind to it. What about this? Maybe we're scared. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm scared, but maybe we're scared we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. You know, it's not like it's as easy to start a homeless kitchen here at church. It's easy. It's not just easy to start a prison ministry. It's not easy to start giving out clothes. We just don't know how to do it, how to approach it, maybe how to take that step forward to do it. So maybe that's just some things we can think about. Here's one that Dave talked about, and I think it's so true. We're caught up in ourselves. And I'm not saying we're selfish people, but we're caught up in ourselves. We're caught up in our own daily routines, our comforts, our whatever. You know what I mean? We just sometimes think about ourselves and what's in our immediate circle, and that's it. Because everything in our little immediate realm is all good, we don't worry about it. But it's amazing when all of a sudden something's wrong with us. It's different. Why is anybody thinking about me? Too busy. I think sometimes we're just too busy. I'm on my way to work. I don't have time to help you. Or I would love to go down to help out at church when they're feeding the homeless, but I've got something going on. I just can't make it tonight. And number five, and I mentioned this earlier, we're predetermined to how it's going to be. In our mindset, oh, they're just going to use our help to go get something. They're just asking for money for a light bill to go get some more drugs. All those people are just on their down their luck because they chose to be like that. And I think we can all think, we've met people and thought, well, you put yourself in that situation. That's why you're there. But I think if you ask everybody this week, we met people, and after you talked to them for more than a second, you realize that, man, we met guys that served in the military. Why is a military man homeless? Don't ask me. Maybe it was by their choice, but if it wasn't by their choice, they shouldn't be homeless. We met people that had good paying jobs that had wife leave on them or something, nowhere to turn. We had people that ended up trying to get a better start and move from one place hoping there'd be a job in Dallas, and it didn't come through. And so there's all these different things, and there's probably people that were just like us and now are homeless, and every day they come by a church building to get a plate of food, some air conditioning, or some water. And so that was a perspective that really changed me in the whole thing. So here's the real meat of the lesson. How do we get at least a desire, or a fire, or a passion, or even an inkling inside to help others? I don't have the answer to you, but here's the one simple thing I can tell you. We did the one thing that I know. We tried. We went and we tried. And so for 1 week in my life, I can say I tried. Am I saying that all of a sudden now I'm going to run down here and open a building next door and I'm going to be serving food out of it? No. But we try. A lot of times, just try. Maybe you're not cut out to deal with the homeless. Maybe you're not cut out to be a prison ministry. Maybe you're not cut out to do what it is. But until you try, how do you know? You know? And I think we all have talents that are hidden inside of us that we never know. I never thought I would. I didn't know what to expect. What do you say to somebody that comes in off the street that has nothing? And then I sat there and I thought, man, we look really bad sometimes. Our kids did an excellent job. I commend them. Some days they probably thought I didn't commend them because I'd be, get up, move, you know. But then I thought, you know, sometimes we'd be sitting there, and even me, and it'd be kind of a dead period, and we're sitting there out in the hall. We all have our iPhones out, and here comes somebody that has nothing, and we got iPhones, and we're sitting there. And we're all, and it's not that we're bad, it's that we just don't catch it sometimes. And then the last day we left, we met at the church to pick up one of the girls that goes to church there. They don't have a youth group. So she went to Six Flags with us. And poor girl, I think she finally got around some people, and she was like so excited the whole day. I think she got everything out. Like, she was excited. Oh my goodness, there's teens that are Christians that want to hang out with me. But we stopped by the church, and that day and this is my next thing I want to share with you. They had to stop opening up the doors and let the homeless in. They had to feed through a little barred window into the hot sun. And there was not a bit of shade by that window. Not a bit. Guys, I tell you, you've been hot this week. Even here in Tennessee, you've been hot. But when you have to go to a window of a church building to get your meal, that heat doesn't make a difference. And I mean, it was And I watched them. Man. And so here's what I want to also tell you about. There are guys in this world that have this passion. And we met them this week. Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas is not big. It's smaller than Echo Hills. Its budget is a lot smaller than Echo Hills. But they said they had $40 left in their checking account the other day. $40 left in their checking account. They don't care. They know that God's going to provide. And they feed the homeless. And they go out and they do what they got with their money. And their staff consists of the preacher, Kelly, who, while we're there, is recovering from a heart attack. So he's kind of down. But that is his passion. We met this guy named Manuel. And Manuel is a firefighter. And after you learn about Manuel and what he does, it's not like he's one of, I don't know how to describe Manuel's living. He doesn't live in a fancy home. They drove by his home. It's a duplex that the church owns. It's run down, beat up. I think the church can provide maybe $200 a week. So he's not living much, but he has his passion. Here he comes. I'll never forget one day. We sat in the hall, and he's on fire to preach God. Bill Johnson, you remember Bill Johnson, guys? This guy's like a miniature Bill Johnson in Dallas. I mean, he went through the whole gospel presentation. And we sat there for, what, an hour? And he went through. He's on fire. He's like, guys, I know I'm talking, but one more point, because I don't get a chance to just share it and practice it and practice it. Because I want to get it down to when I go to talk to him, I want to convert him to Christ. While we're there, guess what he did? Well, God did through him. Somebody was baptized. And some of our girls actually got to go up and watch someone get baptized. An older gentleman, wasn't it? Go up there and get baptized. His goal was to feed them with physical needs, but the spirits to meet their needs. So he wants to bring them in. And this congregation is amazing. As Dave said, they have church on Sunday morning with homeless people. Homeless people come to church there. Is that not awesome? Sitting behind you could be somebody that's carrying has left their grocery cart outside and is coming in to praise God in the Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Awesome stuff. So we met Manuel. He's on fire. A guy named Eric. Eric has a full-time job. He's their associate minister, wants to be more involved with youth. He's the one that hung out with us some nights when he was off work. On fire. And they have a guy named Larry. Larry's the kitchen staff, the kitchen manager of himself. When we're gone, guess who feeds the homeless? Manuel, Larry, a guy named Jackson, who was homeless himself formerly. Larry was homeless himself formerly. And maybe one or two volunteers from around Dallas that come for a couple hours a day. Do they shut the door and say, we can't do it? No. Every day from 9 to 3, 9 to 2:30, they feed the homeless. Isn't that awesome? So I hope this morning, I'm going to leave you with this invitation. Hope that, I sparked something. I hope that you saw the passion. I was speaking to myself more than anything. But ask yourself, when I see somebody in need, do I see Jesus? Because that's what the passage says. And those of us that are Christians, really ask yourself, am I just going through life thinking I've got it made? Or does that last verse strike a fear, not a fear, but a fireman that says, then they will go away, some to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life? After reading that passage, I challenge you to read that passage more. Are we sheep or are we goats? Are we trying or are we not trying? We're going to sing a song here in a second. The invitation is always open to those who want to partake in that. For those of us in the audience, we go through struggles. And one thing I think we do awesome here at Echo Hills is that we share with each other. If you're going through something, don't feel like you got to keep it to yourself. This is not a huge congregation where if you go down front, people are going to judge you. Just say, hey, I need prayers. I'm struggling with little things in life. I think we always need prayers. I think every time we come together, we all probably need to gather up and pray. Because we're going through stuff in our lives, to be honest with you. There ain't none of us that are going through a perfect week in our life. But why not share with each other? So you got that opportunity to come down and say, hey, I'm struggling with something in my life. And if you're not a Christian, you feel the urge, then come forward as together we stand and sing.